So the title of my talk today is Build Yourself an Ark by Appropriating God's Word. And I'm going to be using Psalm 91 as an example. It may seem a very strange title, but it all will become revealed as we go along. So appropriating God's Word. I'm going to split this into two parts. Firstly, what does it mean to appropriate God's Word? And how do we build ourselves an ark? And then secondly, using Psalm 91 as a testimony, really, of how God has helped me recently. So, to appropriate, what does it mean? It means to take something and to use it. Use it for a special purpose. And so in this case, it will be God's Word. It might be the actual Bible verses, or a story, or a preach, or a teach, or something that you've read in a Christian book, as long as it's in line with the Word of God. So, for example, can you remember any recent preaches? Sadly, some of you may say that you can't, but for others, a phrase or a theme may have caught your attention, and you've thought about it during the week, and you've tried to put it into practice. And maybe it came back to your mind a few weeks later when a certain situation happened, and it's helped you, and so now you can remember it. That's appropriating God's Word. So to be a little bit more specific, think back to John's preaches on peace. Maybe it helped you get through the stress and strain of the busy Christmas period. And when you felt out of rest, you were able to remember that word and ask God to bring you back to that place of peace. And when something like that happens, it becomes a reality and you have your own testimony of how it's helped you. And you can actually say it's made a practical difference. It's had impact and it's had meaning, and it really did make a difference. And because of that, you remember it and you use it and apply it to other situations, confident that because it worked last time, it will work again. And it produces faith. And as you do this more and more, you can start to tap into all that God has for us. That's appropriating God's Word. I can also remember Richard's preach on being spiritual millionaires. And he encouraged us to invest our talents wisely. So having mulled this over myself, and I had some further thoughts of my own, and I combined this with Dave's little thoughts on spiritual memory bank, I wondered, what if each time we believed or read something from God's Word, or we prayed God's Word into a situation, we deposited riches or treasures into our spiritual memory bank? We would soon become spiritually rich and be able to draw on all those riches, all those truths and promises whenever we needed them. We would then be able to tap into all that God has given us to help us lead happy, fulfilled, contented and overcoming lives. Now, just imagine if we were financial millionaires. Have you ever played that game where you asked, what would you do with £1 million? What would life be like? You imagine your life would be free from worries. You wouldn't think twice about which product to buy, which was the cheapest or which was the best value. You would just go ahead and buy whatever you needed. You need not work so long and hard, or perhaps not even work at all. But you would have more time to rest and relax and enjoy life's pleasures, pursuing hobbies or taking holidays, things that perhaps you had only dreamt about. Maybe you'd be generous and give money away to family and friends, good causes and charities. You would have the security of knowing that even if trouble did come your way, you could pay your way out of it. Wouldn't it be awful, though, if someone had put £1 million into your bank account, but you didn't realise it was there? Or even worse, you'd forgotten about it? You would continue working long and hard and feeling all the pressures of life, not realising that life could be so much different. Now, unfortunately, not many of us will be financial millionaires. But we are all spiritual millionaires. So imagine each time you read a promise in the Bible, believe a truth, or put into practice God's word, or you read a book or listen to a preach in line with God's word, you put that into your spiritual memory bank. And if you did that regularly, you would soon get rich, and you would be able to draw on this wealth, and it would never run out as long as you kept putting it in. And you would have peace and security with God to be able to overcome any problems that life threw at you. So, how can we live like that? Well, firstly, we must believe and trust God. God has given us so very many promises. There are a minimum of over 3,000, and some concordances say up to 7,000 promises in the Bible. There's a promise to cover every eventuality we find ourselves in. There are many truths, and we need to choose to believe them and trust them. And then we can tap into all that God has given us. So we need to find out what those truths and promises are and learn them and remember them. We need to familiarise ourselves with the Bible and what it says. We need to read it every day. You say, but it's such a big book, wherever do I start? Well, have you heard of that riddle? How do you eat an elephant? That's right. One bite at a time. It's the same with the Bible. Read a little bit every day. Maybe start with the Psalms, and then a book from the New Testament, and then another. And before long, you would have slowly read large chunks of the Bible. And hopefully that would encourage you to read more. You don't have to rush through it. It's not a sprint. It's a marathon. And try to make what you've read relevant to where you are. And if it's not obvious, spend a little more time thinking about it. If verses do speak to you, underline them, highlight them, write them down in a little notebook, memorize them, turn the scripture into a prayer, either for you or someone else, or for the situation you find yourself in. Many themes occur over and over again in the Bible, and you will begin to recognize them, and gradually they will sink into your spiritual memory. So we should train ourselves. Train ourselves to get to know the Bible, so that when trouble comes or a crisis hits us, it's the word of God that springs to mind first. Now, I know many of you are doing this already, but for some it might be a new concept. There are no shortcuts. Physically, if you want to get fit, you need to exercise regularly. It's not a one-off trip to the gym. You have to do it regularly over a long period of time to reap the rewards. Having a gym membership is a good start, but if you don't use it, it's of no use. If you have a Bible but never read it, it will be no use to you personally. So we need to be disciplined to read the Bible and to pray. And that's what deepens our relationship with God. It's got to be a regular and continual process, little and often, not a binge or a one-off occurrence. So I trained myself many years ago to remember Psalm 91, and I had put it in my spiritual memory bank. And so it sprang to mind recently on several occasions. I don't know if you can remember, at the beginning of the year, John said at home group, "Enjoy your children and pray for their protection." Immediately, Psalm 91 sprang to mind, and I started to pray that prayer of protection over them. And shortly afterwards, two significant incidents happened to them both. And I'm convinced that had I not prayed for their protection, things may have turned out very differently. And then I was reminded of Psalm 91 again when we went on a recent holiday. And many people, some even in this room, began to recount to me their holiday disasters. Lost luggage, poor accommodation, ill health, missed flights, delayed flights, etc. It was all said in good humour, but I thought to myself, I'm not accepting any of that, because I believe that God will protect us from all those potential troubles. Why? Because Over the years, Pete and I have learnt to train ourselves to cover our holidays in prayer. And we were confident God would be with us and protect us from such things. And even if trouble did come our way, we were confident that God would protect us because he's proved himself faithful in the past and he would do the same again. It also reminded me of a little book I read many years ago based on Psalm 91, and it was called Build Yourself an Ark. It was written by Gloria Copeland and it's all about God's protection. So I took it on holiday and reread it, and these are some of the thoughts I'd like to share with you. So Build Yourself an Ark. Be ready. A strange title, but God told Noah to build an ark made of wood because he was going to flood the earth. The ark would be a place of safety and protection from the rain and flood for Noah and his family and many animals. Now, to build an ark would have been a very strange thing to do. They had not experienced rain, and so they knew nothing of flooding. But Noah, despite much ridicule, for many years built that ark. It took a long time, and seemingly to others around him, for no good reason. But Noah had heard God and obeyed. And one day, the rain did come, and the floodwaters rose, and Noah and his family did find shelter and protection in the ark, while everyone else around them perished. Now, if Noah had waited to start building the ark once it rained, he would have been too late. He would not have finished it in time, and there would have been no protection or safety for him and his family. His protection came through many years of faithful and obedient preparation. So we need to start preparing now. Start building an ark of protection, not made of wood, but on God's words and promises, because we don't know what's going to happen in the future. And that's what I want to encourage all of you to do today. So, how will you react when you're in trouble? How have you reacted? What's in your spiritual memory bank that will help you through a crisis? What have you fed into it that you can draw on so that you can believe, declare, speak out, and stand on God's word? The Apostle Paul learnt to be content in all circumstances. That's in Philippians 4. Now, this is an amazing statement when you realise all that he'd gone through in his life. He'd been in prison, flogged, beaten and stoned, shipwrecked, cold and hungry, lacking sleep, and he'd even been in the sea for a whole day and night. Yet, because of his close relationship with God, he trusted in him and could say, "I was content." He had learnt to live with God so closely that he remained at peace. And God's grace was sufficient to help him through whatever troubles he faced, and that God's power was made perfect in his weakness. Now, like Paul, you may not like some situations you find yourself in, but have you found God's peace in the midst of it all? Recently, I've heard how some of you have found that peace in very hard and difficult circumstances, and it's great to hear your testimony, and it proves that what I'm sharing actually does work. That's appropriating God's word to our lives. So in summary, how do we appropriate God's word? We use it. We need to choose to believe it. We need to choose to read it. We need to pray. We need to familiarize ourselves with it. And why do we do it? So that it will make a difference in our lives. So that we can live happy, contented, overcoming lives. We don't know what's around the corner, do we? Things can change in an instant. A visit to the doctor and you discover you have a serious health problem. Or a car journey results in an accident. Or a phone call turns your life upside down. And that's what happened to me 3 weeks ago. I had a phone call from my brother saying he had taken my mum to the GP and was told to go straight into hospital. She had severe abdominal pains and would most likely need an emergency operation. And please could I go straight away and stay with Dad. And Dad, if you remember, has dementia, and things like this could really unsettle him. To cut a long story short, two emergency hospital admissions later, Mum is now in hospital recovering from a major operation. There's been a lot to manage, and I feel I've been at full stretch. But it's strange how things pan out. I had the idea for this preach back in February. Little did I know how relevant it would be to myself. So, part two. Let's look at Psalm 91. I think Psalm 91 for me breaks down into two sections. Verses 1 and 2 are what we have to do. We have to live with God, we have to rest in his shadow, and declare that he is our refuge, our place of safety, and a God in whom we're trusting. And verses 3 to 16 is God's commitment to us, how he rescues us and protects us, how he shields us, and how he helps us not to be afraid, how he commands his angels to protect us, and he gives us fulfilled lives, and he gives us salvation. So let's look at verses 1 and 2, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Those who live in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. This I declare about the Lord. He alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God, and I trust him. So to qualify for God's protection, we must live with God. We have to belong to him. We have to be part of his family, or to be a Christian, to have salvation. So if you don't belong to him, perhaps you might like to choose today to become a Christian. Another version says, abide with God. And this means to make a permanent home with somebody. We have to be living with God permanently, not drifting in and out of relationship as and when it suits us, but all the time. And when we belong, we can then share in all that God has given us and provided for us. And we can live in those benefits of having the Lord Almighty as our Heavenly Father. So what are those benefits? When we're born again and have salvation, it's not just forgiveness of sins and going to heaven when we die. It actually means much more. In the Greek, salvation means healing for our bodies, peace for our minds, righteousness for our spirits, prosperity and financial blessing, and physical and spiritual protection. Now, just imagine if we appropriated all of that. We believed it and acted on it, and we used those promises and lived in the reality of that each day. But you know we can. In Psalm 68, verses 19 to 20, it says that God loads us every day with the benefits of his salvation. Isn't that amazing? So how do we tap into that? It's by becoming familiar with God's word, so that it is the first thing that comes to mind when we're ill, when we're out of rest, when we've done something wrong or feeling guilty, when we can't pay those bills, or we find ourselves in some kind of trouble or danger. It's staying close enough to God so that we can benefit from all those things. And for the purpose of this preach, I will share about being under God's protection. It's not rocket science. We don't need to be missionaries. We don't have to give all our money away. We don't have to run marathons. We just have to live close to him every day. But why is it we find this so difficult? Well, it's because Satan tries to do all he can to distract us. And so that's why it's good practice to get into the habit of daily reading the Bible and praying, investing into your spiritual memory bank. There have been times in the last few weeks where I didn't have time or energy to have many times with God, and I've had to rely on what's in my spiritual memory bank. You say, I can't remember scriptures. Well, can you remember words of songs? It's because you've listened to them countless times, and you sing along to them each time you hear them. And even in certain situations, they come to mind, because they're in your natural memory. If you read Bible verses enough times, they'll sink into your spiritual memory. Lots of choruses are based on scriptures, so learn them by heart, and it's often easier to learn with music. Are you a worrier? Well, then actually, you can be a meditator. Mull scriptures over that are relevant to your situation, not dwell on how awful the problem is that you're in. Secondly, rest in his shadow. When we belong and live with God and are at home with him, we can then rest and relax. Do you know that feeling of when you've had such a hard, busy day and you can't wait to get home? Shut the door behind you and leave the worries of the day at the door. When you get home, you feel relief and you feel safe. And that's how it is when you're at home with God. It brings relief and you're safe. And when I read this verse, I had a picture of being out in the heat of the noonday sun. And the heat was so intense, it was burning. And then I walked under a tree and there was instant relief from the heat because I was in the shadow of the tree. And when we place ourselves or rest in God, we come under his shadow and there's instant relief from the danger or trouble we're facing. You still might be out in the sun, but you're not being burnt by it. You're not affected by the heat. And I believe you can be in the midst of problems, but not harmed or untouched by them. So thirdly, declare his word. We need to declare that God alone is my refuge, that he is my place of safety. He is my God in whom I'm trusting. The power of your words is so very important. Speaking words of faith brings God's supernatural power into the natural realm. So speak faith, not negative words. Not, I'm scared to death, I can't see a way out of this situation. But my favourite saying, God, you can make a way where there seems to be no way. But then you have to wait and you have to trust, and that's hard. Don't try and sort things out in your own strength, but rely on God to make a way through and confidently trust him. Give him time and don't be impatient. Don't rush ahead. You may mess things up even more. So never underestimate the power of your words. We now go to the next part, God's commitment to us. Verses 3 and 4. For he will rescue you from every trap and protect you from deadly disease. He will cover you with his feathers. He will shelter you with his wings, and his faithful promises are your armour and protection. So these verses are God's commitment to us. Firstly, he rescues us from every trap the devil sets for us. Now, things change daily and sometimes even hourly while Mum's been in hospital with her condition and with her treatment. And we were constantly praying that God would give the doctors wisdom to decide what was best for Mum. And eventually an operation was done, but in a controlled way and not as an emergency. And we can only trust that this was the best decision for Mum, despite being so unwell. He shields us with his wings. To be under his wings, we need to be up close and personal. And when we see this picture of a mother hen with her chicks under her wings, we think, "Ah, how sweet." But actually, it's essential in keeping her chicks safe. And I shared this picture with my mum and encouraged her that she was safe and protected, warm and at peace under God's wing. And you know, God wants to do that for each one of us. His faithful promises are your armour. Have we been anxious and concerned, tired and tearful? Of course we have. But we have known God's promises, and that's what's kept us strong. His promises are that he's in control, that God would never leave us, that God would give us peace, that God would make a way through, and God would not give us more than we can handle. Verses 5 to 8. Do not be afraid of the terrors of night, nor the arrows that fly in the day. Do not dread the disease that stalks in darkness, nor the disaster that strikes at midday. Though 1,000 fall at your side, and 10,000 are dying around you, these evils will not touch you. Just open your eyes and see how the wicked are punished. So verse 5, do not be afraid. Easier said than done. Our natural instinct when in trouble is to fear, and we go into the flight and fight mode. But God tells us, fear not, because fear opens the door to the devil. And when we do open the door to the devil, it stops us from trusting in God. So in the name of Jesus, we must command that fear to go. We need our spiritual instinct to kick in. So what's in your spiritual memory bank that will instantly come to mind when you're in danger? What scriptures can you believe and declare and stand on to help you through trouble? If you can get to that place, then evil cannot touch us. How amazing is that, to be in the midst of danger but not affected by it? I believe we're covered by an invisible shield, in a secret place that the world doesn't know anything about. Mum kept telling me to report back to people that she was happy and content to be in hospital. She was not frightened or out of rest because she trusted God. And that may sound a very strange thing to say, because she was in hospital, she was in pain, she was anticipating perhaps an operation, and that would be enough to freak some people out. But I get what she meant, because Pete and I had the same experience when I faced cancer and all the rigours of the treatment. And our testimony, which I've shared with you before, is that God carried us through in a bubble of God's love and protection. We had a peace that truly did pass all understanding, given to us by God because we trusted him. And my whole family is experiencing the same peace whilst Mum's in hospital now. And I have literally prayed these scriptures over Andrew when he's been on tours of duty with the army. And I know God has kept him safe. It says, do not be afraid of the terrors of the night, nor the arrows, but I used to say bullets, that fly in the day. Though 1,000 fall at your side and 10,000 are dying around you, these evils will not touch you. And I believe even in combat, God kept Andrew safe and protected him. Verses 9 to 13. If you make the Lord your refuge, if you make the Most High your shelter, no evil will conquer you. No plague will come near your home, for he will order his angels protect you wherever you go. They will hold you up with their hands so that you won't even hurt your foot on a stone. You will trample upon lions and cobras, and you will crush fierce lions and serpents under your feet. If, it's conditional. If we trust God, he is our refuge, that safe place you run to when in danger. Then he will command his angels to watch over us and protect us wherever we go. The angels will hold your hand so that we don't get tripped up by the devil's traps. Do you believe in angels? I do. I've had two experiences that I know of where angels have helped me in my life. Once when having a car accident when we were towing a caravan, and the other while skiing in bad weather conditions. A person I believe to have been an angel appeared from nowhere, did what they needed to do to bring us to a place of safety, and then they were gone. So I can easily imagine angels watching over my mum in her hospital bed, directing the thoughts and actions of the doctors and nurses. I also could imagine them keeping Dad safe in bed, especially at night, when he's so prone to waking, wandering, being disorientated and confused. And praise God, Dad has been so tired that he actually hasn't been waking in the night. Psalm 34 and Hebrews 1 say that angels guard us and angels are sent to serve us. If you remember in the New Testament, angels helped the Apostle Paul get out of prison. The angels had no keys, but they turned up and the chains fell off. And in fact, if you remember the story, it's easier for Paul to get out of prison than it was for him to get into the prayer meeting where they were praying for his release. Psalm 103 says that angels listen and then respond to the voice of God or God's word. So if your heart is full of fear and your mouth is speaking words of unbelief and doubt, the angels can only stand by, helpless and unable to help you. Not because they've abandoned you, but because they have nothing to act on. Whereas if you speak faith and your words are in line with God's word, they can put that word into action and protect you. And so as I spoke Psalm 127, verse 2 over Mum and Dad, that God grants sleep to those he loves, I imagined angels keeping Mum and Dad safe in bed, totally at rest. So get your heart established on God's word and your mouth full of faith and keep your angels on the job. You never know when you might need them. Slowly coming to an end now. 14 and 15. The Lord says, I will rescue those who love me. I will protect those who trust in my name. When they call on me, I will answer. I will be with them in trouble. So when we are in trouble, we can call on God and we need to believe he will answer. It may be not in the way we expect, but it will be the perfect solution for all those involved because he's such a great God and he knows what's best for each one of us. We need to listen for God's answer, and sometimes it will come in a still small voice, and we need to learn to recognise that voice. He gives us impressions, thoughts, promptings or gentle urges, and we need to be sensitive to hearing these. It takes practice and it takes training. But when you pray, stop and listen. Wait till you have a godly thought. That's the Holy Spirit speaking. And the more you do it, the more you will trust and be confident that what you're hearing is of God. Have you ever been delayed going out the front door or taken a different route to work or school? Had you gone straight out, you may have driven straight into an accident. Or had you gone your usual way, you may have bumped into some kind of trouble. I believe that's the Holy Spirit prompting you and protecting you. So Pete's dad lives alone and often has no one to speak to. And so he's learnt to speak with God. He literally has conversations with him. He's had 90 years of practice, and I'm not there yet, but it's what I'm aiming for. So listen for God to speak. Expect him to guide you and answer your prayers. It may save you from harm one day, or even maybe save your life. We called on God to watch over Mum and to protect her, and he did. And we believe God can even turn this situation around for good. And I don't know what that might be yet, but we're trusting God. It's all for a reason. Verse 15. I will be with them in trouble. We will have trouble because that's life. So we need to learn to take authority over circumstances. Take authority over your family, your home, your work, your travels. Ask God to be with you. Ask God to guide you. Bring God into every situation. God is interested in the smallest things we do. We need to involve him in everything. Ask his angels to watch over you. You never know when you might need them. Use your words of faith to keep them on the job. And ask for that protection, because God wants to protect you. Verse 16. I will reward them with long life and give them my salvation. My faith through all this problem we've been through with Mum was that she would live and that she would not die. It was just a sense I had, no doubt given to me by the Holy Spirit. And I believed her life would not be snatched away, and that was very comforting. The last phrase of this psalm is, God gives us his salvation. Do you remember what I mentioned earlier about the benefits of salvation? It's not just forgiveness of sins and going to heaven when we die. It's healing for our bodies, peace for our minds, righteousness for our spirits, prosperity and financial blessings, physical and spiritual protection. We've just looked today at the benefits of protection, but imagine if we appropriated all those other benefits too. Our lives would be sorted, free from worries, true spiritual millionaires. So, in summary, we need to belong to God. We need to live with him daily. And if you don't belong, perhaps you'd like to choose today to become a Christian and talk to whoever might have brought you, or to Richard or myself after the meeting. We need to make God an integral part of our life. We need to expect to be protected. We need to build ourselves an ark, not of wood, but of God's word. We need to use scripture, and so that you can deposit those scriptures into your spiritual memory bank, and then they will spring to mind at the first signs of trouble. Trouble will come, because that's life, but there is a way of getting through it untouched and without damage or harm, if we're under God's protection. Remember, there's a story or a promise or a truth in the Bible for every situation we may find ourselves in. Get to know what those scriptures are. Remember them. Train yourself and be disciplined. Keep your angels on the job by speaking words of faith. You never know when you might need them. Become sensitive to the promptings of the Holy Spirit. Involve God in everything you do. Call on him, and he will be with you in trouble. Don't wait for the disaster to happen. It may be too late. Start appropriating God's word to your lives now, and start building your ark of protection.